In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, the word of the Lord says, let them construct a what? A sanctuary for whom? Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may what? Dwell among them. And then another portion of God's word from 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The first thing and the foundation that I want to give you today is something that if this truth hits you, it will grip you. And when this truth hits you and grips you, you'll never let go of it. Amen? Here's the first point that I want you to look at today with me, and that I want you to recognize that God designates the place for our worship. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I want to say that again to you. God designates the place for our worship. When you study the Old Testament and you study the New Testament and you combine your life experiences with what you learn in the Old and the New Testament, what you'll discover is that God has always designated the places for our worship. There are public places that God designates for our worship. There are private places God designates for our worship. There are geographical places God designates for our worship. There are physical places God designates for our worship. There are corporate places God designates for our worship, and there are personal places that God designates for our worship, but God always designates the place for our worship of Him. How many of you would affirm with me today that God is a God who desires to be worshiped? Those who worship God must worship God at the places God designates for worship. God will designate a geographical place in your life. God will designate a physical place in your life. God will designate a public place in your life. God will designate a private place in your life. But the point is, church, God designates places for our worship to take place. God desires to be worshiped. Can we settle this issue today and let the devil know that we settle this issue? God not only desires our worship, but God deserves our worship. God desires our worship, and if He has designated the place for us to worship, then we need to find that place. Amen?
Amen?
God desires a place for us to worship. God designates a place for our worship, and we go all the way back to the Bible, and we see those places being found that God had designated. When you go back and you study Adam and Eve, you go back and you see that God had designated places for him to worship with them and them to worship with him. Your Bible describes it this way, that in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve would hear God doing what? God was walking. Where was God walking to? He was walking to the place where he designated to worship them. God would walk in the cool of the day. He'd make sure he made some noise so they would understand that here comes our daddy. Here comes our creator. Here comes our God, and He's wanting to worship today. I can tell you this, that God still makes noise in your life when He's wanting to worship you, wanting you to worship Him and worship with you. I want to tell you, we've been hearing some noise here today, and some people have been hearing Elohim, the Creator God, walking in the geographical place. He said, I want to be worshiped in here today. I desire to be worshiped in here today. I deserve to be worshiped in here today. Is anybody going to decide to worship me today? Well, God designates the place for our worship. Adam and Eve found that place. And guess what happens? When sin comes into our life, sin wants to make you afraid of that place. Sin wants to make you afraid of that one that you used to worship. Sin wants to keep you away from that place of worship. Sin wants to keep you away from that person that you worship. And when you begin to hear the sound of God, when you begin to hear the noise of God, when you begin to hear the call of God, and you've got sin in your life, it'll make you do like Adam and Eve did when they sinned, or make you want to run and hide and cover yourself up. But oh my goodness, when you understand that God has redeemed your sin, God has already covered your sin, God has already removed your sin, and God is not looking for a way to punish you, He's looking for pleasure with you, and He's created you for His pleasure, then when you hear the voice of God, you'll want to do like we've been doing today. You'll want to run to God rather than run from God. You see, Adam and Eve understood that God had designated a place that he would worship with them. Well, what about Noah? What about Noah? Your Bible says that Noah built an altar to the Lord when he came out of the ark. When Noah built an altar to the Lord when he came out of the ark, who stopped the ark where it stopped? God. And you know what God was teaching Noah? I've designated a place right here that I need to be worshipped. I'm doing a new thing, he's saying. I've done away with the old defiling things. I've done away with the old wicked things. I've done away with the old offensive things. And let's start a new day right here. And let's just begin it with worship. And you know what Noah did when he came out of that ark? He built an altar right there and began to make sacrifice. And your Bible says that there was such an aroma that went up from that sacrifice that your Bible says to God, oh, that's sweet, God says. Oh, I love that worship, he said. I love that for my people. And God said, I'm going to establish a covenant. You know, many times in your private worship, many times in your public worship, God will enter into a new covenant with you. And God will make sure that the old things have passed away and the new things are all good for you. How many need some new things in your life that have replaced the old things, that's been a part of that crushing, that's been a part of that beating, that's been a part of that pain? God said, I've got some new things for you. Well, what about Abraham? Abraham, when Abraham had met God, one of the first things Abraham did, he built an altar. And he began to call on the name of the Lord. Why? He understood that God designates a place for worship. God designates the place for our worship, and we got to find the place. We got to find the place. What about Moses? What about Moses? Your Bible says it had been 80 years since Moses had heard God speak. But one day, he saw a strange phenomenon. One day, he had herded sheep, he had herded cattle, he had moved those things all along, and on the backside of nowhere, in the middle of a barren wilderness area, God put a bush on fire. What was God saying with that bush on fire? This is a place that I want to worship. This is a place that I want to worship right here. And you know what Moses did? Moses said, "Why is that bush on fire?" You know, that's what worship's all about. God likes bushes on fire. And God just says, I'm making some noise here. Does anybody hear the noise I'm making? Anybody see the visual aid I'm trying to give you here? I'll set the whole forest on fire if I need to. I want to be worshipped today, and I want you to worship me today. And so Moses said, man, I have seen that bush many times, and I've seen a lot of cousins of that bush, but I've never seen a bush like it burn without being consumed. I think I'm going to take time to explore that bush. And you know what happened when he took time to explore that bush? God spoke to him and said, because you turned aside, because you took time, because you recognized my voice, because you saw, heard me coming here, I got something to say to you. And he says, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to prepare that place. So what did Moses have to do? Had to take off his sandals, had to take off his shoes, because the place that God designates always has to be prepared because it's holy ground. Amen? Do you understand that? What I'm trying to tell you, church, is that God designates the place for our worship. It was a place designated for Adam and Eve. There was a place designated for Noah. There was a place designated for Abraham. There was a place designated for Moses. And you go all the way through the Scripture. There was a place designated by God for the people of God. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, God says, let them construct a what? Let them construct a sanctuary. Let them construct a tabernacle. Let them construct a place of meeting there. For who? For me, for God, he says. Why? That I may what? Dwell among them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now what we have here is a visual aid. And what we have here is like the Holy of Holies. Y'all are the tabernacle, okay? Y'all are the tabernacle, and as you came to that tabernacle, you would progress forward, and there would be a holy place, and then there would be a holy of holies. And God said, I want you to construct what we've got here is called the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence and the power and the promises of God. Can somebody say, oh my? And so God said, I want you to construct a place. I'm designating a place that I want to be worshipped in. And you can count on me being there. You can count on my presence being there. You can count on my power being there. You can count on my promises being there. And when you come to the place, you know this is the place that I want to be worshipped. And so God designates the place for our worship. But let me give you a clue to the end of the truth right here. You know God's still designating places today? I want you to look at that next verse of Scripture right there. And it says, do you not know that your body is a what? Woo, glory to God. Oh my goodness. Do you not know that your body is the place God has designated for worship? Do you not know that your body is the temple? Now there were two major words that he could use for temple. He could have used a word for temple that meant the outer courts. But he didn't use that word. He uses the word naos, the word for the holy of holies. The place where God's presence is. The place where God's power is. The place where God's promises come to pass from right there. Don't you know that your body is the place God designates for you to worship Him? Oh my goodness, if you ever grab a hold of that, it'll change what you put in your body. It'll change what you put on your body. It'll change what comes out of your body. Amen? Oh my goodness, don't you know that you are a living epistle? Don't you know that you are a living truth? Don't you know that you are a walking tabernacle of the presence of God? That ought to cause you to raise your head up. That ought to cause you to lift your chin up. That ought to cause you to have the Spirit of God moving upon you, and you'd know that you're not a part of the tail, you're part of the head. You are a champion. You're not defeated. You are the Son of the Most High. And we ought to be living like that. We ought to be loving like that. We ought to be speaking like that. Amen? Man, I ain't got to the introduction yet. And y'all are good. God designates the place for our worship. And with Moses, he said, now time has come in their understanding of the places where I like to walk and talk for them to construct for me a sanctuary, a tabernacle. And you put inside there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. You do it just like I tell you to do it. And if you'll notice on this one right here, the details, and up there, there were the angels that he had put there, because right on here was the mercy seat. That's where the sacrifice was to be placed by the high priest. And that's where God would determine whether what was offered was acceptable. And if what was offered was acceptable, he would consume it. How many of you know that Jesus is the mercy seat? Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is the place God designates for our worship. If you want to come to the Father, you've got to come through the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, that ain't even there yet. That ain't even it, yet. So this Ark of the Covenant, began to be recognized and noticed for, listen to this, it began to be recognized for the place where God's presence was. Everybody looked at the Ark of the Covenant, and above that, the Shekinah glory would be there. The cloud by day and the fire by night. And so the people began to say, hey, the place where God designates to worship is the place where his presence is. And so they begin to equate, this is the presence of God. This is the presence of God. This is the presence of God. And here's a truth that you'll embrace for days and days and days to come. Wherever the presence of God is, it's accompanied with the power of God. So the Ark of the Covenant, the place that God desired to be designated to be worshiped, was a place where the presence of God was there and the power of God was there. Do you know what happens to religious people over a period of time? Religious people over a period of time begin to forget it's about relationship, and they begin to think it's about ritual. They begin to think that there's some kind of ritual that you go through, and all of a sudden the presence of God and the power of God just becomes a piece of furniture. And they begin to think that a piece of furniture is the presence of God, and a piece of furniture is the power of God. And they begin to think all we got to do is have the furniture. All we got to do is have the furniture, and if the furniture's with us, all our problems are solved. Oh my goodness, I could preach up an anointing on my own, even if you wouldn't help me. just with a religious ludicrousy that we take place just because we think if we got the right furniture, we got the right furnishings, if we've got all of that, then we got the presence of God and the power of God. Well, God will let you find out in a bad way. God will let you find out in a hard way that furniture isn't going to help you. Furniture is not going to forgive you. Furniture is not going to redeem you. Furniture is not going to defeat your enemies. Well, the people of God, they began to live their own way. They began to get more ritualistic in their approach to worship. They began to think it out of a habit. They began to think of it as a duty. They began to think of it, you know, as a religious function. And before long, when you get the religious spirit of religion on it, you get the spirit of ritualism on it, it becomes a tradition. And the tradition begins to replace the truth of God. And when the tradition has replaced the truth of God, then all you got's furniture. And all you got's religious exercise, and there's no life in it. There's no power in it. There is no change that takes place in it, and there's no purpose to it. We got so many people that are chasing furniture, but they have lost sight of the presence of God and the power of God. Well, it happened to the children of Israel. You know that piece of furniture right there that in God's order and in God's pattern and in God's commandment. He says, I'm going to give you this visual aid because I know some of you need visual aids, but my presence and my power is always going to be around that. But you've got to respect my presence. You've got to respect my power. Don't take me for granted. And when you begin to take him for granted, then you begin to trust more in the furniture than you do in the presence of God and the power of God. And so, you know what happens is that piece of furniture, it began to take some journeys. It began to take some travel. God designated the place for it to be ultimately in a place called Shiloh. Say Shiloh. Shiloh. And it was in Shiloh we find that Joshua, when they had crossed over the Jordan, they had defeated all of the enemies, they had claimed their inheritance, and they were setting up. God says, I'm designating the place for worship. And God said, I'm designating the place for worship, and for now, for this season, it's going to be in Shiloh. And so for all the days of Joshua, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord, the power of God, was in Shiloh. You know, the Ark of the Covenant and the truth that it represents is very critical and very pivotal in the life of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. And God gave me a promise. God gave me a word when this church was first being birthed, when this church was being established from Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. He says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, when you see the presence of God, when you see the power of God, you go after it. Go after it. And I want to tell you, that's what I've always wanted. I want to go after an anointing. If God says, I'm designating this place to be worshipped at, and the presence of God is there, the power of God is there, then I want to go after it. If God says, all right, I'm walking over here today, I want to manifest my presence and power over here, I want to go after it. Man, we started in homes. We started in clubhouses. We went to the aquatic center. We went to the schoolhouse. Why? Because God said, this is where I'm at right now. This is where I'm moving right now. And so you go after it. And then the time came for us to be able to have these facilities. And these were a stretch for us. These were a huge enlargement for us. And but if God, if you're saying that you're here, then we'll go after it. And a long story short, every place in these facilities were open to us except for one place. That was in the pastor's office. They had paper over the windows of the pastor's office, and it had separate locks for that, and you couldn't get in it. Before we could make the decision, I said, I just think I need to be in there. I need to be in there for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, it's just a room. It's just a place. But God said, I need you in there. And so we got them to call the locksmith and change the locks and open the door. We walk right in, and here the question is, we got to make the decision. Are we going to do this or are we not going to do this? Are we going to believe God for this? Are we not going to believe God for this? God, I don't know. What are you saying? What are you doing? So I walk into that office. I turn to my left, and there's a little nook and a little crevice over there. And guess what is in there? Nothing else in the office. Not a piece of furniture, not even a bug, not anything in there. But I look over there, and guess what's over there? An Ark of the Covenant. An Ark of the Covenant sitting right there. And guess what? The Spirit of God said, there it is. Now you go after it. Why? God designates the place for our worship. Sometimes it's a corporate place. Sometimes it's a personal place. Sometimes it's a public place. Sometimes it's a private place. Sometimes it's a secret place. But God always designates the place for our worship. Well, the children of Israel, they had that place designated for them, and it was in Moses, the tabernacle that Moses built. And that they carried that thing with it. Whenever the glory moved, they moved. Whenever the fire moved, they moved. Whenever the cloud moved, they moved. And it sat down over Shiloh, and so they set it down over Shiloh. And sitting down over Shiloh, you know, your Bible says that it stayed there until it didn't stay there. By that time, Joshua had died. By that time, the corruption and the wickedness of the people had overtaken the relationship with God. And it was nothing but religious ritual. And the priesthood had become corrupt. And they were not walking with God. They were walking for themselves. They were not doing things according to God's precepts. They were not doing things according to God's standards. But they had the furniture. They had the furniture. One day the Philistines began to raise their head against the people of God. In the Bible, the Philistines always represents your flesh. It's a type, it's a picture of your flesh that always opposes the presence of God and the power of God. But the Philistines are no match for the presence of God and the power of God, but they can handle furniture. They're not afraid of furniture, but they're respecting of the presence of God and the power of God. Let me move this quick for you right here. And so they began to taunt the children of Israel, the sons of Israel. And the children of Israel are getting defeated. They're getting whipped. And you know what they did? They said, oh, go get the furniture. Go get the furniture. So they went to Shiloh, and they got the furniture out of Shiloh, and they brought it to Ebenezer. And they brought the furniture from Shiloh to Ebenezer, and they brought it into the camp of the people. And you know what your Bible says? Your Bible says that when that furniture came into the camp, they were so religiously excited, they began to shout with a great shout. They shouted with such a great shout that something happened. The Bible said they got so pumped up with excitement, they got so pumped up with enthusiasm, they got so pumped up with religious frenzy that they shouted so loud that the Bible says the earth resounded with the shout of the people. But how many of you know that God's not interested in how high you can jump? He's wanting to know how straight you can walk. Now, when you're walking straight, you're going to have reason to jump. But here they were. They weren't walking straight, but now they got furniture, and they said, we can jump. And so they jumped so high, and they came down with such a resound on the earth that the whole place trembled. And your Bible says that the Philistines heard it, and they were afraid because they still believed that the furniture represent God. They still believed that the furniture represent the presence of God and the power of God, and they were afraid. But you know the Philistines will put the furniture to a test. The Philistines will put your faith to the test. The Philistines, your flesh will put your commitment to God to the test. And so when push came to serve, the flesh said, we got to fight this fight. We got to fight this battle. He's defeated everybody like that. But man, they sure are happy about it. They sure are excited about it. And so the Bible said they went into a clash together. And the Bible says that the Philistines defeated the sons of Israel. And they captured the ark of the Lord, and they took it from Ebenezer into Ashdod, and they took it into their temple. Well, fast forwarding through that, what they began to recognize is that this is furniture, and it can just be furniture, but anytime God wants to designate this to be a place of worship, God can manifest himself in that place. And you know where they took the Ark of the Covenant? They took it into the Temple of Dagon. The Temple of Dagon was their chief god. And they had a statue. They didn't have furniture. They didn't have a wood furniture. They had a ceramic furniture. Everybody's wanting furniture. And the Dagon was a representative of a fish man. A man fish. Had fins like a fish. Like a mermaid would have, you'd see those pictures of that. But it had a hands and it had a head and a face like a man. And you know what they did? They took the Ark of the Covenant and they had placed it into the house or the temple of Dagon right in front of the god Dagon. And they closed the temple curtains doors and they left. And when they came back in the next morning, you know what they found? They found Dagon had fallen on into the presence of God. He lost his head and he lost his hands. He was worshiping God. Why? Because God designates the place for our worship, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. Church, what I'm trying to tell you is that God designates the place for our worship. Do you understand that God designates the place? Well, there's three things that I want to mention. I got to stop. I can't preach them. I just got to mention them, okay? What happens when God designates a place for worship? What happens when God said, this is the place that I want to be worshiped today? Whether it's a geographical place or whether it is a physical place. Whether it's a public place or a private place. You know, whether it's a personal place or a congregational place. What happens? What happens when God makes it a place to be worshiped? Well, three things happen. Number one, and you want to write this down. You want to get this and you want to carry this with you. What happens when that occurs, when God designates a place, is it becomes a place of habitation for God's presence. It becomes a place of habitation for God's presence. Look at one in Exodus 25:8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me. Let them construct a place for me. Why? That I may what? Dwell. That word dwell means that it means to inhabit. It means to cover. It means to protect. It means to reveal. Do you know that God is still designating the place that He wants to be a habitation? And you know what the best place is for you? It's your body. God is wanting to abide within you. That's why you get born again. You get the Spirit of God. Why? Because God designates a place for worship. Amen. But you know, when you understand that you are a spirit being, and when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit living inside of you, then you are the place of worship. But God also has geographical places. God also has public places. You know, some of the greatest things we can ever do is worship God publicly. I'm not just talking about on Sunday in here. This is semi-public. You know, we've got a curtain around us in here. We got the world out there that needs to see that there is a God that needs to be worshipped. And He is willing to be worshipped, but He needs to see it in its authenticity. He needs to see it free from religion. He needs to see it born out of a relationship. He needs to see it born with freedom. And He needs to see somebody unashamed to do that. And whenever you walk, you know, when the Spirit of God tells you someday, you know, I'd like to be worshipped right here today. You know, it might be somebody spit on that ground. I'd like to be worshipped where that was spit on. You know, it might be somebody cursed over here. You know, I'd like to be worshipped right over here. And my God, just pull out and build yourself an altar. And if somebody asks you what you're doing, don't pay me no attention. I'm just worshiping God. Why? God wants to be worshipped right here. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth is His footstool. God designates a place. And when He does it, it becomes a habitation for God's presence. Can you grasp that for yourself? Your body, when you become a child of God, your body is the habitation for God's presence. Oh my God, He's just not with you, He's in you. He does not doesn't just love you. He lavishes you. He doesn't just excuse you. He forgives you. He doesn't just want your religious duty. He wants your relational adoration. Learning just to adore Him in the place where He designates for worship. Let it be a habitation for God's presence. You know, Truth Tabernacle is a habitation for God's presence. Why? Not because we say so, because God says so. There's an awful lot of churches that declare it a religious habitation for the worship of God, but God hadn't been there in years. You know, and you read Revelation 2 and 3, at the end of that, the churches, the ages, Jesus is not in the center walking the aisles. He's not in the middle of the churches. He's outside the church. They got furniture in there, but they don't have the presence of God in there. They got furnishings in there, but they don't have the presence of God in there. They got people in there, but they don't have the presence of God in there. But I want to tell you, God designates a place for worship. And when God designates a place for worship, it's a place of a habitation for His presence. Oh, there's so much that I could say about that. But let me just say this. Every place that God designates for worship, two things must happen. Number one, and you might want to write this down, is it must be prepared to receive God's presence. Every place that God designates as a habitation for His presence, it must be prepared for God's presence. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, you might want to write that down and read it for yourself. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, when David rediscovered the Ark of the Covenant and he wanted to bring it back there, your Bible says in 1 Chronicles 15, 1, that David prepared a place for what? For the Ark of the Covenant, the place that God said He wanted to be worshipped. The tragic thing is that on its journeys from Shiloh to Ebenezer, and from Ebenezer to Ekron and Ashdod, and Kiriath-Jearim is where it finally rested. When people begin to say, "I can't handle the handle of God," you know, when the presence of God gets here, we don't want that. And so the Philistines, the flesh, said, "We don't want the presence of God in here anymore. Can we get it out of here as quick as we can?" You know, your flesh does that same thing. Your flesh says, we don't like that presence of God in here. We're not king when the presence of God's here. We're not in charge when the presence of God's here. Get the presence of God out of here. And you're going to be a servant to whichever one you want in here. And so you got to let the presence of God and the power of God be in you so that the flesh will be crucified by you and you won't do the things that the flesh wants you to do. But the Philistines said, "We got to get this out of here." So finally they found a place that it could stay, and Kiriath-Jearim, and guess what? It stayed there for 100 years. It stayed there for 100 years, never utilized as a place for worship like God wanted it to be. And you know what's even more tragic? It was only 8 miles from the place God wanted it all along. Only 8 miles, 100 years. And people still had the furnitures. They still had the furnishings. They still had the sacrifices. But they didn't have the presence of God. They didn't have the power of God. And if you don't know it and you don't have it, you can learn to live without it. But you'll never thrive without it. And no wonder the next generation wants no part of it. You invite somebody to come to church when this generation's never seen the presence of God or known the power of God? Uh-uh. I'd rather have 4 shots in the rear than to have to go to church for an hour. Why? Because it's void of the presence and the power of God. Saul was the people's choice for king. And do you know how long it took him to build his first altar to God? 40 years. It took him 40 years to build his first altar to God. And the presence of God, the power of God, was only 8 miles away the whole time. And when he built the first altar to God, after 40 years, it was because he was in trouble. And his kingdom had already been torn from him. But do you know what David did as his first act when he was installed as king? Go get the presence and power of God. I'm not going to be king without the presence and power of God. Let's go get the presence and power of God. So they took the 8-mile journey and began to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the place God designated for worship. But you know, they made a mistake because the flesh has a way of influencing your worship. And the flesh said, "Hey, this is a beautiful piece of furniture right here." The Philistine said, "Let's put that on a new cart and let's send it back." And here's how we'll, after God had given tumors, after God had given plagues, after God had given ravaged the whole thing like that, they had the idea that, you know, God might not be happy being here. And so let's send it somewhere else. And so they said, you know, when it was time to go, "It's such a pretty piece of furniture right here. And after all, what it did to Dagon, you know, our God." But they said, "Let's put it on this new cart." So they built a brand new cart. They put it on the new cart. And when they got the oxen and got ready to send it away, said, "Now here's the test that we will know after it's gone, so we can appease our conscience, that if it goes down here and it turns to the right at this town, we'll know that God is driving that cart. But if it goes down here and it goes to the left, we know that all this is just coincidence." Guess what? When the ark got down there, it went to the right. Why? God designates the place where, because He wants a habitation for His presence, and He wants everybody to know that He is a God and He can be worshipped. So it stayed there for 100 years. When David went and got it, he said, "That is a pretty cart. Let's just keep it on the cart and let's bring it back." And as it was coming back, the oxen stumbled.
The cart tilted, and Uzziah reached out and touched it and killed him dead right there. And then David became afraid. Why? Because the place that God designates for worship is a place of the habitation of His presence, and you just don't handle the presence of God any way you want to. It's got to be handled the way that God says it needs to be handled. And so it had to stay for 20 years until he could figure out what we did wrong and how we can do it right. And when they figured it out from the Word of God, get it off of that old cart. Get it off of that cart right there. And you see these poles, you see these stays through here? God made it simple. My presence and my power, it's going to be carried on the shoulders of men. It's going to be carried on the shoulders of anointed men. Men, do you see why we need 70 of you? Because God designates the place for worship. And when God designates the place for worship, it becomes a habitation of His presence. And the presence of God can best be facilitated by the anointing that He places on men. God's identified 70 men. God's identified 70 men. He's been calling them out. But you know what He's calling you out to? He's calling you out to the place of worship. He's calling you out to become a habitation for His presence. When it becomes a habitation of His presence, real quickly, number two, it also becomes a place of manifestations of God's glory. The place that God chooses for worship is a place of manifestations. Is that word manifestation singular or plural? It's plural, and it's right. Because, you know, there's some people, they're Brill Cream religion, a little dab will do them. Man, they get one manifestation. They get one manifestation of His presence. All right, that'll do me. And they'll go off for 20 years. They'll go off for a generation. But I want to tell you, when you really understand the place that God designates for worship, becoming a habitation of His presence, and you begin to see the regular manifestations of His glory. Now, glory is His weight. Glory is His worth. Glory is His holy heaviness. And you know, we had a little touch of it in here today. We had a little touch of His glory in here today. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God moves us from glory to glory. God moves us from glory to glory. And God moves us from glory to glory. And when He gives you a manifestation of His glory today, then if He never gave you another one, that would be more than you deserve. But God says that I've made you worthy, and I've made you to be a person that has prepared its place for My worship, and I am going to take you to the next manifestation of My glory. Now, I told you a while ago, I told you that two things happened. You had to prepare a place for the presence and the power of God. But what was the second thing? 1 Chronicles 15:1. The second thing is He not only prepared a place, but He pitched a tent for it. 1 Chronicles 15:1, read that. David, when the first official act that he did as the king over Israel is that he prepared the place for the presence and the power of God. And then your Bible says he pitched a tent over it. Oh my goodness. And Amos chapter 9 and Acts chapter 15, the Bible tells us that God, in these last days, is rebuilding the tabernacle of David. He is repairing the breaches. He is repairing the gaps. He's repairing the weak places in it that caused it to crumble and fall to begin with. And it's not a fad. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And the closer we get to the end time, the greater you see the tabernacle rebuilt, which is the celebrative praise and worship in the presence of God, because God has chosen a place to be worshiped. In the Old Testament, they always had a tent for it. There was always a tent that covered the place that was prepared. The old tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David, the temple that Solomon built, all had been covered. What about the New Testament? What about the New Testament? Well, there were two things, two tents that God prepared for the covering in the New Testament. The first one was the physical body of Jesus. The Bible says, and the Word became what? And dwelt, tabernacled among us. And then it says, and we beheld his what? Whoop! Oh my goodness, you're tired. I know you're tired. You've been patient. It's been long. But when you get tired and you're that patient, sometimes you don't get it. The place that God designates to be worshipped becomes a habitation of His presence and results in manifestations of God's glory. And the New Testament place that God first gave was the physical body of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory. His glory is full of grace, and His glory is full of truth. If you want grace and you want truth, you got to find a place of worship. You got to find a place where He is dwelling, His presence. You got to find that place where He's manifesting that. And when He manifests His glory and you find the habitation of His place, then you find grace and you find truth, all combined and together. But you know, there's a second place that God pitches a tent in the place that's prepared. And that's His spiritual body, you and me. His spiritual body. Do you not know that your body is what? The temple of God. Now listen to this. In Ephesians 1:22, oh my, gotta go. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1:22, to the church. Then verse 23 says, which is His body. The church is His body. What is the body? It is the presence and the power of God. What is the church? The church is the temple. It's the place God designates for worship. Sometimes it's a geographical place, but often it's a spiritual place. It's a personal place. Sometimes it's a public place. Sometimes it's a private place. People trying to go to the public place without ever taking time to develop the private place. People trying to get from the public arena what they've not taken care of in the private arena. People trying to get in a geographical place where they won't find in their vertical place. And then the Bible says the church is His body. But get this now. The fullness of Him. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now in that Old Testament tabernacle of Moses and in the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle was a tent, but it was made out of a special linen cloth. Nothing ornate about it. It was rugged. It was durable. It could last all weathers and all seasons and all occasions. But you know what it represented? Righteousness. And the place that's prepared for the habitation and the manifestation of the presence and the glory of God is a place, His tent, is made of righteousness. And guess what? When you get saved, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't have to become righteous. You are righteous. And because you are righteous, you do righteous things. And so, it's the manifestations of God's glory. Let me close it. Number three. God designates a place for our worship. The place that God designates for worship has to be a prepared place, and the tent has to be pitched to receive it. And when that tent is prepared and pitched, our bodies, these geographical places like that, it becomes a habitation. It begins to give manifestations of His glory. But number three, it results in the being a place of communication from the voice of God. You begin to receive communication from God's voice. Look at what He says in Exodus 25, there, where the place I designated for worship, there I will meet with you. I will worship with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will what? I will what? I will what?
Woo, speak, Lord, speak. Speak, Lord, speak. I will speak to you. When you find the place God's designated for worship, God's voice is going to be heard in that place. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's why it's important for you to find the right geographical place that God's designated for your worship, because there God is going to be speaking to you. How many of you can say that God's been speaking to me in my time since I've been at Truth Tabernacle? Why? Because it's the place God's designated for you. How many of you can say that there have been times I've come in here and God's had a word for me? It might come through the music. It might come through the preaching. It might come through the children. It might come through my Sunday school teacher. But God's word comes. God speaks. When God said to Elijah, there's going to be a season of famine, that means I'm not speaking and I'm not providing in everywhere else. But for you, Elijah, I've commanded the raven to feed you at that brook right there. That's the place I'm designating for your provision. That's the place 3 times a day I'm going to speak to you. 3 times a day I'm going to remind you of my faithfulness. 3 times a day you're going to see my provision. Now, Elijah, you can go to any old brook you want to, but they're going to be dry, and there's not going to be any fresh water there. Now, if you're in a season of famine and God's saying, I'm going to be speaking to you here, where do you ought to be? You ought to be where God's speaking. Amen? Amen. Communication from God's voice. As I was saying this, he said to close with this. Habakkuk says, look, look among the nations because I'm doing something in your days. I'm doing something, God's saying. Who's hearing that today? God's telling you to look. God's telling you to observe. God's telling you to pay attention. And you look around among the nations. You look around among the people groups. You look out around the people. I'm doing something. I'm doing something. And I've got a place that I want to be worshipped at. Are you willing to get in that place? Are you willing to get in that place? Then he says in Habakkuk 1, you would not even believe it if you were told. But I'm going to make sure that you were told when you're in that place. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. When we prepare the place God designates for worship, we not only become the habitation for His presence, we not only become the manifestations of His glory, we not only begin to do it, but we recognize God's voice when He speaks to us. And listen to what He says in Jeremiah 33:3. He gives you an invitation. What's your invitation? Call to Him. Call to Him. And what's His promise to you? I will answer. I will answer. You know, there are times when we are calling to God and He's answering, but we're not hearing His voice. Why? We're not in the place He's designated. We're not in the place He's designated for worship, because worship's all about communication. We communicate sometimes with nonverbal things. But oh, I want to tell you, you can go a long way on a word from God, amen? And God gives you a word in your worship. Just say the word, and I'll get out of this boat. Just say the word, and I'll get out on water. Just say the word, and I'll get out there and do that. And so when you're in that place, God gives you the word. But look at this. Not only an invitation, not only a promise, but then He says, I will tell you, I will reveal to you, I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Now, is there anybody here today, there are things that you do not know, but you need to know? I do not know what job you have for me. I do not know what's going to happen with this cancer. I do not know what's going to happen with my son. I do not know. God said, call to me. I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things. How many need some great and mighty things? Yes. I want to tell you, all the shaking you've gone through, all of the crushing that you've been through, all of the threshing that you've experienced is preparing you for the anointing that you're about to receive. Why? Because a habitation of God's presence has to be a prepared place. And what's God been doing? He's been preparing you for a habitation of His presence like you've never known.
He's been preparing you for a manifestation of His glory like you've never experienced. He's preparing you for a season of communication like you've never known before.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.